So, Rebbe Sol and I were talking while the track was playing, and he was mentioning something about a Yemenite wedding, and there was some of the instrumentation that's going on that we just heard was done. Comes from a Yemenite wedding.
Yeah.
So I'd love you to speak to that a little bit.
I love recording, things like especially ethnic stuff and people and their real ethnic origins and that kind of thing. And I happened to be in Israel at the time, and I went to this Yemenite wedding, and the Yemenite people tend to be like really musical people anyway, and so I just heard some of the stuff, and so I whipped out. I had a portable recorder, and I was recording things. And so a lot of the samples that you actually heard, or the sounds or whatever that you heard in Kol Dodi just now came from that wedding. It was mostly from there, and it was something it was really, really fun and made it so musical and so interesting, you know?
Yeah, and you had me moving in the studio, and so that's pretty good. These days anyway. On this album, you have another song that Kaddish.
Right, Kaddish.
Kaddish.
That's sometimes people say Kaddish.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ashkenazi pronunciation is more Kaddish, and everyone else usually says Kaddish.
Oh, okay, good.
Same thing.
Yeah. So actually, it's a prayer.
Right. Kaddish is the prayer that you say. You say it many different times, but most people know it as the prayer that you say for the dead when someone dies.
Right.
Not for the dead, it's when someone dies is when you say it.
Right.
There's actually no mention of death in the prayer at all.
I know.
And that's kind of a fascinating thing anyway, which speaks to the wisdom of Judaism in this instance anyway. And that is, what Kaddish is all about, first of all, it's in Aramaic, it's not in Hebrew, because Aramaic was sort of like the universal language back in those days, whenever it was, a couple thousand years ago, I guess. And it would be like the way English is now, English is the language, if you go around the world, if there's a sort of a common language, it's probably English these days. And so in Aramaic, they wanted everyone to understand it. And what it is it's basically an affirmation of your faith in God. That's what it really is. And they have little sections of it, different verses, but it's affirmation of your faith. And when is the time that you would probably question your faith or doubt your faith the most? Well, probably when you're going through some pretty tough times, like when someone close to you, like a spouse or, your parents or somebody, dies. And that's when you say Kaddish. And it's an affirmation of your faith. So I thought that was like a really kind of a wise, interesting thing about that, right. That prayer, you know?
Yeah. So, and this version is an interesting version, musical version of this prayer. So that's why I wanted you to play it and also maybe explain a little bit before we hear it about some of the different traditions or elements that you put together that make this very unique adaptation.
Okay. So when I started, I started a period of traveling. It lasted about 2 years. I went to a lot of different places, even just within the United States itself. I was in a lot of different places, and I was in Israel, I was in Europe, different places like that. And I just started doing field recordings, like remote recordings. And one of the things that I found the most fascinating to record were the sounds of people doing things that had to do with their own cultural heritage or their ancestry. In many cases, they would be chants or prayers or stories or something like this that related to who they were, you know, historically, ancestrally. And that was a real fascination for me. And so I found this prayer of Kaddish in the Jewish world was something that people say all the time. They also say it, as we talked about earlier, when someone dies. But it's also a prayer that you say all the time. And in the Jewish culture, being a culture of a real diaspora, when people, you know, spread basically all over the world, and eventually many of us came back to Israel. Some of us are still in different places. Because of all that traveling around, we each have like a different take on some of these very same prayers, and the melodies may be a little bit different. The words are essentially the same, maybe with a few different words here and there, but it's essentially the same. But the melodies are different. So if you listen to, you know, someone from Iraq doing Kaddish versus someone from Romania doing Kaddish. In fact, yeah, they would be really different, because the person from Romania wouldn't even say Kaddish. He would say Kaddish, like we talked about earlier.
Right.
And the melodies are vastly, vastly different. So I started recording a lot of these things. And I remember when I got back to California, I went into the studio with all these different recordings. And I happened to keep noticing all these Kaddish prayers from all over the place. And I thought, you know, out of all these other things I have, and I had all kinds of like industrial sounds and nature sounds and, you know, people chanting sounds of their tribes doing something else. But these Kaddish prayers really struck me because there were so many of them, and they were similar and different at the same time.
That's what's really beautiful about the Jewish culture that a lot of people don't really know, is that the diversity amongst the Jewish culture.
Yeah, everyone, you know, you think, let's see, what's Jewish food? Pastrami on rye and stuff like that. But,
right.
You know, you can go to Israel and you have a really tough time finding good pastrami. And rye bread, you can forget about that, not the kind of rye bread you have here. You know, there, you eat hummus and that kind of stuff. It's a whole different cuisine.
And it's still Jewish.
Right.
Or, you know, Sephardic, Spanish, with their Ladino, the different language, and then the foods that they eat. Maybe they eat fish, and the Ashkenazi, you know, eat chicken, you know.
Right.
Boiled.
Right. Yeah, and kishka and all that stuff.
Anyway.
You never even hear in that part of the world. But I put this together as a collage. I took a bunch of different ones that just sounded kind of cool, and I started putting them together. And one of the first things I noticed was, oddly enough, many of them were in the same key, which was really bizarre, because they, you know, when you're out there in the bush or whatever, they could be in any key. And how did they sort of miraculously end up in the same key? I have no idea. I have no explanation for that. And so I think there was one that wasn't like in the right key, and I don't remember what I did. This is before you could do a lot of pitch changing and everything and manipulation of stuff like that. So I may have even left it the way it was, or I may have slowed down the tape, or I don't know. But anyway, so I had a lot of really memorable experiences. The first person that I recorded doing this was at a place called Amuka in Israel, which is near the holy city of Tzfat, or sometimes said Safed, right. In the northern part of Israel. And there's a place called Amuka where a rabbi was so immersed in his study of Torah that he neglected to ever find a wife, get married, have kids. He just neglected that part of his life entirely. And toward the end of his life, he regretted it. And so he had many, many followers, his students, and he told his students before he died, because it would be very difficult to tell them after you died, you know, he said, if you're looking for your soulmate, come to my grave and say your prayers at my grave, say your tehillim or whatever at my grave, and I will do what I can in the afterworld to help you find your soulmate, your true love. And so, of course, you go to Israel now, and like you find the place is mobbed, you know, like people, you know, like they ask me, like, you know, where can I, you know, go to find like some, you know, cute chick or the right guy or whatever, and I say, you know, like they want to go to a club,
go to the cemetery.
I just say, go to Amuka, man, and just pack a lunch and just wait, because chances are, if she doesn't show up, you know, like her grandmother will probably show up, and she'll be looking for, you know, like the right person for her granddaughter or whatever. And so, anyway, I went up there with a bunch of guys. It was really, really fun. They were praying at the grave, and we were the only ones there, actually. The guy who was leading the prayer was Ethiopian, and he led the whole thing. And among the prayers, of course, was Kaddish. And so that was the very first one that I recorded there. And you'll find that it's kind of buried in the song a little bit. And then there were Persians and Moroccans, there were Hungarians, Yemenites, I got from, I think, Ashkelon or Ashdod, I forgot where. And the very first one that you hear was actually at the Kotel, at the Western Wall, in Jerusalem. That was a guy named David Hertzberg, who... is very Ashkenazi, American, and had a fantastic voice and really, really could lead something really, really beautiful. And I was right next to him, and I recorded that. And that's the very first Kaddish prayer that you hear in the song.
Oh, cool. So can we hear the song?
Kaddish.
We're listening to Kaddish by Rebbe Sol. Just been listening to Kaddish by Rebbe Soul, and we are here in the studio. I'm get his mic back on, and we're going to move to a little bit different album that he's recently produced with Shlomit. And it's called Seal of Solomon. So tell me a little bit about Shlomit and Rebbe Soul. And now you're doing concerts together here as well.
My latest project.
Wait a minute, I don't have you on. How's that? Oh, because I'm in the wrong place. Okay.
User. <error. laughs>
The okay. 3-4. I was at the wrong 3-4.
Okay. So yeah, Shlomit is it was my musical soulmate. Really, my musical soulmate. I've working with her. First of all, she's a great singer. She's become a wonderful friend. I mean, I'm as close to her as I would be to my sister, really. Also a very conscientious singer, really well-prepared, really works hard on her stuff. And it's just a lot of those characteristics that you just love in an artist, something that you find more with, say, actors and actresses than you do with musicians. You know, there's a certain real, conscientious nature that they have, and singers tend to have that more, say, usually than instrumentalists. Not always, but mostly. And it's really refreshing, and Shlomit really excels with that. And in addition to the fact, she sings amazingly well.
She has a beautiful voice.
Yeah, she's great.
They compare her to Ofra Haza?
Yeah, they call her the new Ofra Haza, you know, who was, one of the great Israeli singers, also Yemenite. Many of the great Yemenites, or great Israeli singers were Yemenites. Great Middle Eastern singers, I think, generally speaking, a lot of them were Yemenites. They just happen to be very musical people. So working with Shlomit has really, really been a pleasure. The debut album is called The Seal of Solomon.
And so I want to just interject here that you were talking about the Jewish star, the Jewish star. We call it the Jewish star, the 6-point star, but it actually has a history that's related to King Solomon and came from a different culture. And so we're talking about, you know, global fusion here on Think Grow Love Radio. So can you just give a short explanation of how that star actually evolved?
Right. I'll do my best to try to remember. I'm not a scholar of this kind of thing, but basically the Seal of Solomon is the, you know, what people refer to as the Jewish star or the Magen David, because of that, I would imagine a lot of people would attribute it to David's star, King David. That was his symbol. But it actually started way, way before that, and it didn't even start in modern day, or what is now modern day Israel. It started in Hindu country, like in India, and it was actually a Hindu healing symbol, and so they would put it in archways or in doorways, like on the side of a door, much in the same way that Jewish people put a mezuzah now. And it kind of means the same thing, really. It's a healing symbol. And it sort of spread because people just kind of got into it. It was sort of an interesting thing, and they liked it, you know, like a peace sign today, or, you know, like people started putting up two fingers, hey, peace, brother, you know, like in the 60s or whatever. And it just kind of spread and caught on. So this caught on, too. And you started seeing it, I can't remember when it started, when they first saw evidence of it in Hindu culture. But my instincts or my flawed memory tells me that it might have been maybe 3,000 years ago or maybe a little more, something
like
that.
Well, I think this has something to do with the triangulation,
right.
The triangle pointing up to the sky and down to the earth, something like that. But anyway, just to say that, so this Jewish star is part of the 6 seals of Solomon that is the
right.
name of the album. So
right, and that's the main symbol, the Magen David. It eventually showed up in the Galil or the Sea of Galilee area in Israel, like years and years later, like 1,000 years later, and it became associated with the Jewish people. It was used in a very derogatory way for quite a long time, starting with some pogroms, and the guy that really turned it around was David Ben Gurion, who put it on the Israeli flag, and there was a big rift when the State of Israel was founded of what to put on the flag. And he really stuck to his guns, and he really turned the symbol around, I have to say, whereas now it's not associated with anything really derogatory, like the yellow star that, you know, in the
mm-hmm.
concentration camps,
right.
you know, they'd wear and everything, or in the pogroms or the ghettos or what have you. Now it's very different, so I'd have to say he was right about that, you know. So that's what the symbol is. And the Seal of Solomon, that was Shlomit's idea for the name of the album. And it was just sort of an epiphany for her, I think. And I think she said it, and I thought, wow, that's a great name for the album. You know, let's use that. The album is basically Yemenite songs, all Yemenite songs. Most of it's sung in Yemenite, almost the whole thing. I don't understand a word of it.
So we're going to hear the song Galil. Galil?
Galbi. And I forgot what that means. It might be my heart or something like that. I don't remember. But that's the opening track of the album. And I heard her singing that. And it just lended itself to something. To me, I thought, you know, I'm an American. I'm going to play like a really American kind of guitar part, like Southern guitar, you know, kind of, which is very American style. And it seemed to fit with that really, really well, because I thought it would be a fun blending of the two cultures. And so that's what happened. And so you want to hear
Here we go. Yes, I do. Just been listening to Gabi by Shlomit and Rebbe Sol on their Seal of Solomon album. You are listening to Think Grow Love Radio with Y. Steinberg here, live streaming in our San Francisco Mission District studio. And we are here every Wednesday from 2 to 4 Pacific time. And I'm here live in studio with Rebbe Sol, a.k.a. Bruce Berger. And we're having a great time. And he's here on tour around the States. He lives in Israel. And I want to let you know, if you just joined us, that he is heading to Houston on December 12th. And to Fairfield, Connecticut on December 19th, and a couple of shows in New York around that time too. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get connected. And I'm going to give you a website right now, shlomit-rebbesol.com, and to spell it out, shlomit-rebbesol.com, and go up to that website and you can get all the information about where they're going to be in the next month here in the States. So now we're going to turn a little bit to a song called Senet Sena. I think, yeah, I have your mics on. And now, this is a really interesting song, too, because we've been talking about how you bring together different cultural music inferences together into a piece. And so Senet Sena has a history behind it as well. And then you're going to play the one on your new album with Shlomit.
Right. So Senet Sena was written in 1941 by two guys who were in the Jewish Brigade of the British Army in Palestine. It was before it was Israel, 1941. It was still the British mandate. And they wrote the song. It was Senet Sena, which is kind of a play on words in Hebrew, which is it's biblically based, which means to come out. And then there was a period of time called Etsena, where there was food rationing. It was a really tough time and everything. So it relates to that, those words. But anyway, these two army buddies wrote the song, and it became kind of a hit, you know, in the Middle East. And then Pete Seeger, who did a lot of traveling, was there in the late 40s, and he heard the song. And he decided to bring it back, and they recorded it in his band, The Weavers, and it became a huge hit. It was number 2 on the Billboard charts, and that was in 1950, so Israel was then already born. It was a 2-year-old state, 2-year-old country. And after that, like, every major artist in the United States did this song. It was incredible. Bing Crosby, Judy Garland, Liza Minnelli, just tons of, you know, Richard Tucker, the opera singer, the Barry sisters, Chet Atkins even did it on TV. One of my favorite versions was by Chubby Checker.
I thought that was interesting.
It was killer.
This is on, you do a little bit of this on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So I do want to mention to all of our listeners that there's a lot of information and on YouTube. If you just Google Rebbe Sol, and you'll be able to find a couple of different stories and more music and all of that. So yeah, he's all over the internet. So I had to mention that.
Yeah. So, well, with that in mind, maybe we should just play the song.
Yeah. That might, yeah, I want to make sure we get the song done before the show's done.
Okay.
Oh, let's get
Zena, 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 Habanot.
צנה 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 הבנות תורן החיילים במושבה אנה 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 תתיירנה מבין חי לקצבה
I love that. I love all that the different influences that are in that you put in there. And you're telling me during as we're listening to it that these are like your neighbors in Israel. And it sounds like a little bit of south of the border in there.
Right. We're all close.
And it all works. So we've been here in studio since 2 o'clock with Rebbe Sol, Bruce Berger, and we're having a grand old time and a conversation and going through a number of different albums and music that he's produced over the years and having a good time. But it's coming towards the end of our show, but not yet. And I want to remind all of you that you're listening to Think Grow Love Radio here. I'm Y. Steinberg, your host, here every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific time in San Francisco in the Mission District. We are live streaming, soon to be on iTunes and other podcast networks around the internet. If you like what you've been listening to and you want to hear more, and maybe you won't make it live every 2 to 4 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon. Maybe you got to work or something like that. You can join our Facebook community, the Think Grow Love community, and where you will have links to all the shows and the discussions that we have here on the radio will be continued, and get to know other members of the community. So if you're motivated to do that, go to facebook.com/groups/thinkgrowlove. And if you want to become a Rebbe soul mate, then you just go on over to RebbeSoul.com and sign up to be a Rebbe soulmate, and you'll be able to find all the wonderful music that and more, because we only had 2 hours to go through it, and he had a whole life to create it. And he's been doing it for a little while. Not too long, but for a little while. And yeah, and he's on tour here. He lives in Israel, so he's not in the States all that often. And if you happen to be listening from Houston, December 12th, they'll be in Houston, and December 19th in Fairfield, Connecticut, and around the 19th in New York. So you have to go to the website RebbeSoul.com to find out and join, become a soul, Rebbe soulmate, and you'll find out all the dates. And we have just been listening to also a new album with his partner Shlomit. And so you can get more information about them at shlomit-rebbesoul.com.
In fact, there's probably a more complete tour schedule on that website, actually.
Okay, well, so the gals are keeping it all
she's
straight.
She's really on the ball with that kind of stuff, you know. I fall way short of that.
Yeah, okay. So you've got two websites. You've got a few dates. You can come to Think Grow Love Radio, and we'll have links there as well. That's the facebook.com/group/thinkgrowlove. And now Bruce is going to... Rebbe Soul, he's going to finish out our time together with a couple of live songs. If we have time, it looks like we probably have time for two. So what are you going to play now?
This is a song called Harachaman. I thought it'd be nice to end with this is a song, a prayer for peace, actually. And it seems like these days we probably need something like that. So I thought maybe this would be a good finisher. Harachaman in Hebrew means the merciful one. It goes like this. Harachaman hu yiten achava achava v'em b'nei Yitzchak v'em b'nei Yishmael yahiyay 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 harachaman hu yiten achava achava v'em b'nei Yitzchak v'menei Yishmael. Harachaman, the merciful one. V'yitena chava v'menei Yitzchak v'menei Yishmael. May the merciful one bring a spirit of brotherhood, bring brotherhood between the children of Yitzchak, Isaac, those are Jews, and the children of Ishmael, and those are Muslims. So it's a prayer for peace between Jews and Muslims. Harachaman hu yiten achava achava v'menei Yitzchak v'menei Yishmael yahiyay 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 harachaman hu yiten achava achava v'menei Yitzchak Yitzchak uveminei Ishmael, 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 Ishmael.
That's beautiful, Bruce.
Thank you.
We actually, I'm going to clap and ask for an encore.
Oh, wow, okay.
Because we actually have a couple more minutes, okay. And I just want to use every one of those little minutes.
All right.
And you know, Avinu Malkeinu.
Avinu.
Oh, gosh, I could cry. And what does it mean?
Avinu Malkeinu means our Father, our King. And this song is a prayer, and it's sung usually during the period of time of the High Holidays, which was just a couple of months ago. And it's a song of forgiveness. It's a prayer of forgiveness. Even though we haven't done anything, you know, meritorious, let's say, please forgive us. Forgive us. Yeah. Avinu Malkinu Chanenu Va'anenu Ki En Banu Ma Asin.
Wow, thank you. Thank you, Rebbe Soul, a.k.a. Bruce Berger, for coming to the studio and being with us here today. It's been a wonderful pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm so excited that you were here and just thoroughly enjoy the music. Again, RebbeSoul.com. Become a Rebbe Soulmate. Shlomit-RebbeSoul.com for all the updates on their tour heading to Houston on the 12th of this month and the 19th to Fairfield, Connecticut, and then on to New York City. So thank you all, and thank you all the listeners for joining Think Grow Love Radio. We're here again on Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. And if you want to be a member of our community, just go on over to facebook.com/groups/ThinkGrowLove. Till next time, have a beautiful day, and we'll see you next week.
Are you sick of reading the news? Do you even bother to read the news anymore? Do you need someone to read it to you because it's just so disgusting and depressing? If so, then the Weekly Review is the show for you. Join Roman Reimer as Roman reads the news, whether it be LGBTQ issues, cannabis legalization, prison abolition, police brutality, or many other issues that sometimes the media just doesn't feel the need to cover. Listen in Fridays at noon, Mutiny Radio. Roman's also joined by activists, community organizers, artists, and many other great...
Alex! Ed! Can you tell me what food relieves insomnia, anxiety, stress, chronic brain, depression, nausea, and can induce euphoria and stimulate appetite?
I'm gonna guess waffles.
That is incorrect! Actually, Alex, the food I'm talking about are cannabis-based medicinal extracts.
Cannabis-based medicinal extracts? That sounds like you're smoking drugs, Ed.
No, baby! There are smokeless, safe, and less expensive alternative to smoking.
But can I use it to sleep?
Yes, baby!
Good, because I'm so excited by this that I may never sleep again!
And it sounds like you, Alex, may want to check out the number 4altacalifornia.com. That's 4altacalifornia.com for a non-addictive, pharmaceutical-free alternative to smoking medical marijuana. Check them out today at number 4altacalifornia.com.
Are you tired of swimming through a sea of podcasts? Are ye on a raft without a patter? Well, gather around me, sea dogs, and get aboard me pirate ship as we set sail for the seas of MutinyRadio.fm. From there, you can captain your own pirate ship as you sail through over 44 different shows for all of your listening pleasures. They've got live comedy to small business advice, LGBTQ-friendly to sports, vinyl to gutter punk. MutinyRadio.fm has the best programming the internet ocean has to offer ya. I bet my peg leg on it, or I ain't Scurvy Shitface McRat.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. You look like the kind of person who has a sense of humor.
Oh, is the radio talking to me?
No, I'm on an internet podcast.
I'm talking to an internet podcast?
Don't be silly. It's a one-way form of communication. But I don't want you to miss out on the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival 2016 from March 2nd through 6th. And you don't have
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to another edition of Ace of Space on MutinyRadio.fm. And once again, my voice is hoarse. It's been a rough past few weeks between the many changes in the weather and the fact that I have just been nursing a tail end of a sore throat. puts a lot of stress on this boy's voice. And when you add in that I have to speak all the time in loud clubs and so on and so forth, by the time I get to Wednesday, I'm usually kind of shot. So sorry about that if I'm a little bit hoarse, but I endeavor to persevere. And I'm excited because today's show features a good friend of mine named Johnny Kelly, the drummer from Danzig currently. In the past, he has drummed with a little band named Type O Negative. I'm a huge fan. And his own band, A Pale Horse Named Death. So, among other things, Johnny's a very versatile drummer and a really great guy. Fantastic player and performer. And, as I said, recently he's been performing with Danzig. And I've had a chance to see him the last couple times around, and he's just phenomenal. But he always has been. He's always been a great drummer. A really cool guy. And he'll be with me in a little bit. As usual, our interviews